You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning. Can you hear me yet? Kind of. I'm loud to begin with. All right. Give it another second. Did anybody get their Christmas lights out this week? Yeah? Anybody? How many of us, there we go, I'm starting to show up now. How many of us got out our Christmas lights and we had just that one light on the whole chain that makes all of them not work, right? It's the worst. Luckily, that wasn't our experience, or if it was our experience, it means that Alicia dealt with it and I didn't have to deal with it. So I will take that. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're excited if you're here with us for the first time, or if you're streaming, you're watching our service for the first time. We're really glad to have you here. Does anybody remember the cartoon The Jetsons? Right? Not what you expected the first Sunday of Advent to be discussed. If you're not familiar with the TV show The Jetsons, it's a throwback. If you're younger here today, go look it up on YouTube afterwards. It was this cartoon that promised this futuristic reality, and it kind of played on what we thought would happen in the future. It promised flying cars, life in space, school in space, maids that were robots that took care of all of our needs, cleaned our houses for us. Now, we kind of got the robot cleaning service with Roombas, but I don't know if your house is anything like my house. A Roomba would not survive a day because of the Legos that are on our floor alone. But besides the Roomba, you know, the future that the Jetsons predicted really wasn't delivered at all. We didn't get any of the things that they predicted in the show. One thing, though, that the show doesn't really predict that we got that I think is pretty, we don't realize how futuristic it is next day delivery. Like, next day delivery has changed society. It has changed how we function. We click the buy now button, and we expect that almost instantaneously that the package is going to hit our porch. None of us have the patience to wait for anything these days. If it doesn't get delivered over the course of a couple days, something is seriously wrong. In fact, if you buy something or you're looking at buying something and it's like, hey, it'll take 5 to 10 days to arrive, you're like, whoa, I don't want this anymore. Like, if that's how long I have to wait, it's not worth it. I'm going to find something else. When Jesus was born, he surprised almost everyone because Israel had been waiting so long for this Messiah that most people had stopped waiting altogether. And when he showed up, just in his birth alone, he began fulfilling prophecies from hundreds and even thousands of years earlier. Now, some people wanted to call customer service because the Messiah that showed up wasn't what they expected. And we'll talk about that later in this series. In the coming weeks, we'll see that others saw what the rest were missing, though. And next week, Randy Shivers will talk to us about what it means that Jesus did show up, what it means that God is with us. And we'll also see, as we talk about this series delivered, that he was exactly what the prophets had told us we needed to be waiting for, even if he didn't look exactly what we expected him to be like. And the best part is, he is exactly what all of us needed. As we kick off this Advent series, today what we're talking about is on-time delivery. Jesus was delivered to all mankind right on time. You're probably already feeling the pressure of Christmas shopping. And I mean, Jake and I this morning, we were just even talking through things and we were like, man, mentally, I'm already past Christmas. Like, mentally, it's like, hey, Christmas Eve feels like it's tomorrow. It just feels like it's here. The United States Postal Service lists December 15th as the deadline to ship something standard and have it arrive in time for Christmas. So you still have some time left. Amazon, they're a little bit bolder. They list December 23rd as the last day you can order something with one-day delivery and get it for Christmas. I'm not sure I'm ready to make that kind of placing of trust and faith in Amazon to get something to me. That would make me nervous. It can feel a little powerless as you get notifications on your phone, as your phone vibrates and you check it, and you notice that you have a delivery delay. Hey, for whatever reason, it didn't leave on time. Hey, whatever reason, it had to be redirected. It's going to be another day later. Hey, we don't know when it's going to get to you. Here's a question. If I told you you needed to make delivery plans for the Savior of the world, how much time would you need to get everything ready? What logistics would you need to consider to deliver on the promise to bring the hope of all mankind to the world? It's a big thing to think about. I've got no clue how long it would take me, or if I would even be capable of delivering on a promise of even getting a Messiah who was ready to save the world to the world. But God took this mission, this purpose, so seriously that he was preparing to deliver on that promise from the beginning of time. And here's the neat thing. Jesus being delivered to us as a baby ultimately leads to us being delivered as well. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the godly, or for the ungodly. At just the right time, when we couldn't do it, Jesus died for all mankind. And that's unbelievable, one, because it's unbelievable he would even do it for us, but it's also hard to believe that he was able to do it at just the right time. In order for him to die for us, he needed to be born at just the right time too. And when hardly any of us were expecting it, Jesus arrived. And he was exactly what we needed, whether we realized it or not. So how long had God been planning for the arrival of Jesus? The answer doesn't take us back decades before Jesus' birth. The answer doesn't even take us back centuries before Jesus' birth. The answer takes us back even beyond thousands of years. It takes us back to the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent that tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and this is what he says. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Theologians call Genesis 3:15 the proto-evangelium, right? And that's just a word, you know, theologians like using big words to remind you how much they spent on their school. It was a lot, right? But it's just a big word that means the first good news. Genesis 3:15, all the way back at the beginning of time, God, even as Adam and Eve have just sinned in the Garden of Eden, is already at work in delivering the redemption of mankind. He said, hey, it's going to happen. And do you know what he said next? Do you know what he did next? He said, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. He kept people waiting. And it was uncomfortable. You all probably recognize this graphic, this delivery graphic. Let's see. All right? This is familiar to all of us. And we're, you know, like we can read this like we read tea leaves. We like it when this delivery chart, these updates, go from right to left. Did I say that right? From left to right. Dyslexic Matt moment. Right? We like it when it goes from one side to the other. We don't like it when it starts going backwards or when it stops. So imagine with me for a moment if instead of all these different updates, instead of ordered, shipped, out for delivery, delivered, what if it was just ordered and then at the other side it just said just at the right time? Can you imagine that customer service call, right? You're like, hey, I just got a notification. It was an email. It said it's shipped, but for delivery, it just said when it gets there. Like the person on the other end is trying to be nice. Well, yes, sir. Yes. No, I can confirm. It will be there when it arrives. You're like, I don't think that's what I was asking. Could you be a little bit more specific? You know, this is worse than getting cable TV installed. Well, no, sir, it'll be there just at the right time. You know, that'd be so frustrating. It'd be hard to come to grips with. What does it mean in Romans 5, 6 that it was at just the right time? To talk about that, we need to talk about two Greek words that reference time, and those are kairos and chronos, right? These are two terms that refer to time, and they refer to time a little bit differently. Kairos, this is this ancient Greek word meaning the right or opportune moment, while chronos refers to chronological or sequential time, right? Chronos is quantitative, kairos is qualitative. Kairos isn't the idea of the second hand on your watch. It's the idea of everything has culminated to this moment, to this season, to this period in time, and now in the fullness of time, it's here. Think about it this way, right? You're out in the Old West, and there's canyons and mountain ranges, and there's train tracks, and you're on a horse surrounded by a group of bandits. And the leader of the bandits looks over to the horizon, to the edge of the train tracks, and sees the mountain around the bend that there's white smoke coming up. And then slowly the train in the distance proceeds on the tracks, and he pulls out the telescope, looks, closes it, pulls out his stopwatch, and says in a gravelly voice, "Boys, she's right on time. Let's get ourselves some treasure." Right? That's chronos. It's like, hey, you can set your clocks to it. Here it is. It's arrived. Now, kairos, on the other hand, is like the Lion King. We've got some Lion King fans in here? No, you're all asleep. In Lion King, they think Mufasa is dead. They think Simba is dead. And now they have Mufasa's brother kind of illegitimately sitting on the throne, and no one's aware that Simba is still alive, but then all of a sudden the winds change and it blows some of Simba's fur in the air all the way through to this tree, and Rafiki's there. And Rafiki snatches it out of the air, and he's and he looks at it and he stops. He rubs it, he sees if it's real, he smells it. And he goes and he runs to the tree, and he sees on the tree where he had painted a picture of the baby Simba, the lion cub. And he draws a mane on him. And he goes, it is time. That's what this passage is talking about. Romans 5, 6 is saying, it's time. At just the right time. When everyone had given up hope, when people didn't realize that there was still a king, that the king was coming, that he was promised and he would be coming at just the right time. Romans 5, 6 tells us it was the right season for our rescue, for Jesus' arrival. But why was it the right time? Why in that moment of history was it the right time for Jesus to arrive? And why did we have to wait so long for Jesus to show up? Matthew and Luke's Gospels both start off telling the story of Jesus with listing a lineage, right? Matthew's Gospel starts off, and if you've got a certain translation, it has just a list of names that are full of begats, right? This person begat so-and-so who begat, who begat, who begat, who begat. I'm sounding like Porky Pig, right? That's all, folks. Why in the world do they start it off by saying, hey, here's the line that brought us Jesus? It's because at the start of the story of Jesus' life, we're being reminded of how long ago God made his promise. There's 14 generations from Abraham to David that Matthew lists. And then there's 14 generations from King David to the period of exile when the Israelites were forced to leave their homelands and live in exile in Babylon. And then there's 14 generations that Matthew lists to Jesus' arrival. And I think that's so interesting. It's like God is saying, hey, I promised this Messiah to you in the time of Abraham. I promised this Messiah to you in the time of King David. I promised this Messiah to you during your exile. And you know what? Your spiritual phone is buzzing. And it's telling you that your delivery is coming. Your delivery is on time. Like I said, God promised his on-time delivery of the Messiah to us through Abraham and Sarah, through their lives. In Genesis chapter 12, God is making a covenant with Abraham, and he goes, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. Right? Abraham's phone buzzes, and he looks at it, and it says, Messiah is on its way for delivery. And he looks at his life, that he's aging and his wife is aging, that they don't have children, that they've just left their land to go into a foreign land. And he goes, yeah, customer service? Are you sure? And God says, I'm sure. God promised on-time delivery of his Messiah through the life of King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God is making a promise to David, and he says, there will be an eternal king that never leaves the throne through your line, through the line of your family. And that had to have been so special for King David. But King David was an imperfect king. His kids were imperfect. You know, whether it was his son that was king or all the other kids that weren't kings. And then after that, the generation after that, everything just falls apart. The delivery notification for David's family had to have been buzzing, and they would have been like, hey, it says out for delivery. Are you sure, God? And God's answer in Scripture is, I'm sure. God promised on-time delivery of the Messiah even when the Israelites were living in exile and their capital had fallen. That blows my mind. I'm going through Louis Giglio's Advent book called Waiting Here for You. It's a great daily devotional. A friend recommended it to us, and it is really good. And in our reading this week, he quoted Lamentations 3:26. He said, God works while we wait. Waiting is never wasted when you're waiting on God. It's not going to be on the screen, but just listen to what Lamentations 3:26 says. It says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If we took out the salvation of the Lord part and we made it about an Amazon package delivery, you'd be like, no, it's not. Right? It is good to wait for the delivery of the order you placed on Thursday. Like, no, I want it now. Give it to me now. The crazy thing is that Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and it was written while the capital of their country, Jerusalem, was being torn to shreds, while people were starving on the inside, where they didn't know how to take care of their kids. They didn't know how to just get through the day, let alone the week. And here the prophet Jeremiah, with the out for delivery notification on his phone, says, no, God's promised it. It is good to wait for the Lord. Jeremiah, in the book that's actually titled after him, Jeremiah chapter 23, he prophesies about the Messiah. He doesn't just say it's good to wait for the salvation of the Lord. Listen to what he says, 23, 5, and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Man, Jeremiah was believing the delivery updates. He was saying, no, my deliverer is coming. Later on, after the Israelites had come back to Jerusalem and started to build things again, there's another prophecy that Jesus ends up fulfilling, but at this point it was just a delivery update. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Micah's going, you've gotten the delivery updates. Hey, get ready. He's coming. And then there was no updates. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a period, and I'm sure it wasn't silent, but we call it this time of silence, 400 years. I'm sure it felt way worse than just silence. But the phones didn't buzz. There was no pings of the email inbox. Your Ring door didn't have any notifications. When I was a kid, if you ordered something by mail, like I used to read comic books when I was a kid. My mom would get them at the grocery, and at the very back page, there was toys that you could buy. And at the bottom, in the fine print, it said, hey, if you send this and the shipping and handling, do you remember how long it said it would take? 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
It's like, oh! No updates at all. Like, you can't ask, hey, Mom, is it any closer? You know, Alexa, is it any closer? None of that. It felt like forever. Forget 4 to 6 weeks. Can you imagine waiting 4 to 6 centuries for delivery? That's generations. That's lifetimes. That's not your kids' kids. That's children's 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 children's. That might sound crazy to you, but all of us in here, we've waited lifetimes for things. I mean, all of us have grown up watching the news. We've grown up in a world of injustice. And all of us in our hearts long for the wrong to be made right. And we might see momentary periods of justice, of peace, but we're not going to see that in our lives. We're not going to see a world at peace. It's going to take God coming back. But I can tell you, that when it does happen, when the Prince of Peace comes again, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth the wait. The Prince of Peace isn't going to show up and everybody's going to be like, you know what? I thought it'd be better. It's going to be worth the wait. And we actually do have something that most of people in Scripture longed for all their lifetimes. And we get to experience. We get to take hold of it. We're getting to enjoy the promise that has been delivered. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Right? When the set time had fully come. This is kind of crazy. This is actually chronos. This is like, hey, like the timer went off. And Jesus showed up. That's pretty cool. When the exact time showed up, they waited lifetimes, and we aren't able to just read about it now. We're able to receive that delivery. We can accept the Messiah too. You've probably heard like crime of opportunity, right? You have a moment where all of a sudden you're walking by somewhere, you see a door open, and you see the money inside, or the money's on the register, and you're like, you know what, crime of I'm just going to take it. The arrival of Jesus wasn't a gift of opportunity. It wasn't like Jesus, you know, is up in heaven and God's there, and God goes, you know what, today would be good. Yeah, today. You know, today would be perfect. They could really use Jesus today. It was planned all along. It just wasn't when we expected it. Jesus was delivered in an unexpected way. Maybe God wants to deliver you today in an unexpected way at just the right time. Whether it's the bandits that are on the hill watching as the train comes down the track, whether it's Kronos, you know, hey, it's the right time. Or whether it's Rafiki realizing that the king has come, that there's hope. What does at just the right time look like of Jesus showing up in your life? Do you trust that God can deliver the things you need in your life at just the right time? Do you trust that God can deliver you at just the right time? When hardly anyone was expecting it, Jesus arrived, and he was exactly what we needed. Your delivery was right on time. Whether we feel like that or not, whether that frustrates us, whether the waiting is fun or not, Jesus is here. And we have to ask ourselves the question, will we embrace Jesus? Will we accept that delivery God has planned for us? I've shared with you this morning some reasons why Jesus showing up was at just the right time. One of the reasons that historians or theologians will say that Jesus showed up at just the right time was this term called Pax Romana. And Pax Romana is a phrase that means Roman peace, which is like a totally ironic statement because the Romans weren't peaceful people. The Romans would come into your town and they'd step on your throat until you called mercy, and then they'd kill several of you and say, that's going to happen again if you guys decide that mercy's over. But what happened with the Roman Empire is they spread out and they were so in control that everyone had to speak their language, everyone used their roads. They created this system that all of a sudden the truth about who God is, the promise, the message, the good news of Jesus could spread quickly. I don't think the Israelites would have been excited about Pax Romana. I don't think they would have been excited about the Roman Empire stepping on their throats. You know, like, yay, we're being oppressed. This means the Messiah will come. I think they were pretty upset about it. Just like we're pretty upset when we experience pain and suffering too. But there's a couple things that happen when we experience pain, when we experience oppression. One, it kind of makes space in our life. Like, hey, we don't have control. And it opens us up to the possibility of, hey, we need rescue. And then two, it makes us long for a rescuer. It doesn't just make us aware that we need one, it makes us long for that rescuer. Jesus showed up at the right time to rescue not just the nation of Israel, but to rescue us. And so I want to just throw this out there as we finish up our time. Maybe today's the day that you allow Jesus to be delivered to your life. Maybe today's the day that you realize he's at the door knocking. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But I want you to think about that. And I'm going to come back to it. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And if it's your first time here, we actually have communion at the black tables around the room. And you can grab one of those baggies. Don't feel bad getting up to grab that. We have people do that every week. But communion is this reminder for us that Jesus showed up just at the right time. Romans 5:6, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't just show up. He didn't just choose to be with us. He didn't just choose to be a vulnerable baby. He chose to die for us on the cross. And that's what we do as we take communion. We remember his sacrifice for us. But let me get back to that offer of maybe today's the day that you embrace Jesus. I wanna ask you, if that's you, if you go, you know what, I've been waiting a long time and I don't know what I've been waiting for, but I think it's Jesus. I was expecting to get other notifications. I was expecting it to be different, whatever that might be. But I'm ready to accept that gift. I'm ready to acknowledge that Jesus has shown up and I want him to be a part of my life. If that's the case, I just want you to tell God that. As you pray and talk to him now, it's not the whole process. It's not like you do that and you're done. Hey, good, I'm good. I've received the gift. But it's a good starting spot. Tell God, thank you for sending Jesus. I'm ready to receive him now. And then after this service, after this time, come talk to me. Send me an email. Give me a call. Visit me during the week. Visit any of us on staff during the week. Tell one of the people you're sitting by. But don't keep it to yourself. Because the gift of Jesus isn't just him showing up and saving us. It's the gift of relationship. That he wants to be with us. And he wants to guide us. So if you pray that prayer during this time of communion, let us know. Let me pray. God, thank you that even though we would have liked next day delivery, even though we would have liked a step-by-step guide of when and where and how you were going to show up, thank you, Lord, that you said at just the right time, I'll be there. Maybe this is the right time, God. You've done your part. You've done the part that we can't do ourselves. Maybe now is the right time for us to say, okay, thank you for delivering the Messiah to us. I'm going to deliver myself to you now. I'm yours, God. As we have this time of communion and reflect, and as we consider whether or not to accept you as our Lord and Savior, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us, that this is even a possibility. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.